Sue asked me a question on the way down here. I thank God for a godly wife. And hears from the Lord. She just asked me this question, and I didn't really understand why at the time. She said, if you knew for sure that tonight would be the last time you'd ever have the opportunity to speak to this group of people, would it change your message? And this is one of those times when I know what I'm going to speak on tonight, you know. A lot of nights she could ask me that question and I'd say, I have no idea. I don't know what the message is. But I do know what it is tonight. So I've been thinking about that for about 30 minutes. And the answer is no. No, I wouldn't change it. Because if this was the last night, if I knew for sure, Richard, Helena, Bernard, if I knew for sure, Jason, that I'd never be able to teach again. The most important thing on this planet is that you learn how to get your hand into the hand of the Holy Ghost. Because He's the one that's here. He's the one that's been sent. If you're going to follow Jesus, He's the one that's going to show you the way. You want to fulfill your call? He's the one that's going to show it to you and lead you into it. You need to change? Today has been a day of... I thank God for the change that He's wrought in my life in these years since 1980. Boy, some days He shows you Jesus in that mirror. And all you want to do is throw yourself down at His feet. Wash them with your tears. Kiss His feet. For the mercy that He'd show to one like me. On my own, I so deserve hell, and I know it. The church doesn't need, and I'm saying the church, I mean the church, the whole church. We don't need more gold dusting. We don't need more gemstones. We need the Lord. We need the Spirit of holiness. We need that purging fire of the Holy Ghost again. If you spend time with Him to the point He begins showing you your own heart, you don't care anything about building a ministry. You don't care anything about a better car, although there's nothing wrong with that. The only thing you want is change me, God. Change me. Don't leave me like I am. Not that my salvation depends on it. I'm going. I know how I'm getting there. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. There's nothing else. His blood and His blood only. And what we're going to talk about tonight is continuing on the revisiting the face-to-face, but we're going to really talk about tonight each one of us becoming so aware of His presence. And that's the Holy Spirit. It'll change everything about your life if you come to the place where you are constantly aware that He's walking. I know He's in you, but I'm talking about walking with you. It'll change your holiness. It'll change the fruit of your ministry. It'll change everything about your life. It'll change those in your family. It'll change your circle of friends and those that you work with. If I had one message, if I knew this was it, I would endeavor one more time to help you get hooked up even better than you already are with the Holy Ghost. Because He's the one that's been sent to guide us. If I can get you hooked up with Him, you don't really need me anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Open to 1 Timothy. I'm finding out it's a lot easier to bring His presence when you've been in His presence. But now, if I'm going to be really honest, I'd have to tell you this. I didn't do anything today to get into His presence. Did y'all know the Lord likes to give gifts? Sometimes when you least expect it, He'll come and your agenda is over. Your plans are gone. Because the Master has come. Without turning to it, we've been jumping off at John 14 each time when Jesus was explaining to them how He was going to heaven, leaving the planet. And of course, they'd been following Jesus for 3.5 years and been receiving all of their instructions from Him. And they were happy that they did that. Well, now He's leaving and they're basically, the first question, well, can we go with you? We want to follow you even if it's going to heaven. He says, no, you can't follow me now. You'll follow me later. Well, so then their question is basically, well, if you're leaving, is your lordship coming to an end? How are we supposed to follow you if we can't, if you're leaving and we can't go with you? Now what? So He introduces to them the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans to find your own way. He says, I will come to you. Now, has Jesus literally in the flesh come back to the planet so far? No, He has not. But yet He's telling them in the context, I will come to you as Lord. Well, how is He going to do that? He does it by the agency of the Holy Spirit. And that's what He's introducing there. He says, I'm going to pray the Father and He's going to send you another comforter. And He's going to come and abide with you forever. He is not going to speak of His own authority. In other words, He's not coming to replace me. He's not coming to be your Lord. What He hears, that's what He's going to speak. Well, what that means is the Holy Spirit being omnipresent is at every instant with the Lord in heaven and at that same instant with each one of us on planet Earth. So He is able to bring us the present hour speaking of the mind of Christ, not only collectively as a church when we assemble, that might come through a prophecy or through a tongue and an interpretation, but He's also able to bring to you the individual mind of Christ for your personal walk with the Lord. See, and if you were them, that's exactly what you'd need, because you've been following Jesus for 3.5 years and He didn't give the same assignment every day to all 12. You know, some days, some of them are doing this, and only these two are going to go get the donkey. The others have got to get their instructions, what they're supposed to do. So they're trying to understand, well, how am I going to get my personal instructions like I have been getting them? How am I supposed to get them in the future? Well, He says it's by this Holy Spirit. And then He tells them plain, He says, I have a lot of things I'd like to tell you, but I can't tell you now. And the reason He couldn't tell them is they weren't regenerated yet. They weren't born again yet. That couldn't happen until after the cross. So He had told them everything. He had shared with them everything that He could in their unregenerated state. Everything in mostly in parable form, trying to teach spiritual things with earthly analogies that we can understand. But He says this, from here on, the things I'd like to tell you, I can't tell you now. But when He, the Spirit of truth has come. He, now notice the personal pronoun, he, an individual. He is God, but he is a he. He will teach you all things. He's going to guide you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 makes that really clear, because it tells us the reason Jesus couldn't share those things with them at that time, they still had in them the spirit of the world. Well, that's the spirit of Adam that we're all born with the first time. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, written to Christians, says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are given to us of God. In my margin, I wrote out there, that's my inheritance. When the Holy Spirit has come to teach those things, comparing spiritual with spiritual, because those things from God, the things from another world, the things from the realm of heaven, where our true home is now. You do know you're not an earth creature anymore. You're an alien from another world. It's called God's kingdom. You look like a human. God left you in the earth suit as camouflage. These poor, unsuspecting people that you meet, they think you're a human just like them. But in a way, you're like that movie, The Body Snatcher. They don't know you're an alien from another world. Come to kill them. Snatch their soul, get it converted, and get them going to heaven. See? They don't realize that. They think you're a human like them, and you're really not. You're an alien from another world with the spirit of the living God on the inside of you, clothed in a mortal house. Well, I've been teaching and teaching on this, and this Wednesday night I'm just going to jump over miles of stuff so we can get to the meat. Dave, in his series, Distinguishing God's Voice, talked really clear where it is in us that the Holy Spirit communicates. I'm not about to get into that tonight. But in that two-part series, I mean, I was captivated, and I'm going, you know, Sue and I had already been trying to serve the Lord with the best we knew how for 12 years before we ever arrived at the prayer center. And we had done a lot of things, and prison ministry and worship leader, and if you can believe that, and just all kinds of things, and just hoping some of it was the Lord, because we weren't really hearing him. I never heard him say, go to the prisons. It was offered to us, and we could do it, so we did it. And hoping that that was the mind of the Lord. But we could hear in 1992, and Dave starts teaching about, you know, there is such a thing as the leadership that comes by the Holy Spirit, and there's a way you can learn to hear him. And he, if you can learn to hear him, he is going to bring you the very mind of Christ for your individual walk. I mean, that is what I had been looking for. You mean if there is a way where I can practice on purpose for as long as I want to, just because I want to get to the place where I can hear by the agency of the Holy Spirit what my Lord Jesus is saying to me right now? I want that. So I began doing what's on those two tapes, practicing them again and again and again. I didn't hear anything for a long time. Long time. I don't remember now. I wish I would have kept better records in those days. I'm better now than I was then. It may have been a year. I just don't remember. Several hours a day. I got as frustrated as everybody else gets. But, you know, you just got to keep on. And then one day it began. And I began to hear him in my known language. Do you hear him every time? No. Still don't today. I hear him often. I hear him more than I can keep up with. He can tell you enough in three or four sentences to occupy your next 2 years. But I began to hear him, and I began making record of it. And so those are the face-to-face series that's been at the website for years, and now we've got them in audio format. So I've been revisiting those. He kind of gave me an instruction, you know, because those were in 98, and now this is 2008. And he said, I want you to go back through those and share with the people from a 10-year perspective, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I've been doing some of that with you. And the one we did Sunday is where he described how his direction comes. set like a compass in a lot of ways. And in that vision, he showed me a clearing in a real dense forest, and like it's like I had been working there for quite a while. And this forest was so dense you couldn't see, you know, if you're down in the forest, you can't see very far. I mean, the trunks of those trees are really close together. And so, the trees were like obstacles. I know I'm supposed to go some direction, but I don't know which direction. So I'm just basically with I didn't really see an axe or a chainsaw or anything, but I know that I've been working on clearing this bigger and bigger clearing all the time, just cutting down trees in all directions. And he shows me this vision and he says, you know, you've been working really hard making this ever widening circle. And it's been a lot of hard work, but if you look back to the center, you'll see you really haven't traveled very far. God, that's so true. He says, now let me show you, if you'll allow me, let me show you what I can do. And just like in this vision, I just started rising up like I was in a helicopter or something. And I got up higher than the forest. I could look down on it. And he says, you see that clearing up ahead? And it was quite a ways off. Maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 miles. Long ways. You see that clearing up ahead? By the way, there was a lot of clearings. He says, you see that one? He pointed one out to me. You see that clearing up ahead? I said, yes, sir, I see that. He said, that clearing is where the Lord wants you to arrive next. And now when I let you back down, your direction will be set like a compass. You'll know now what direction you need to remove obstacles that are in your path between where you are and that clearing. That's where the Lord wants you to be. You won't be, he said it to me this way, he says, I will not have you working on vain things that pertain not to your call. Well, boy, if you can go in a straight line and you know what direction to go, instead of having to cut down all the trees in the whole forest, you can focus on that line and you're going to get to that next clearing a lot quicker, aren't you? Now, he told me plainly in that case what the next clearing was. He said, the next clearing for you and Sue, he included us both, he says, I want you both to begin operating regularly in the gifts of the Spirit. And it's not like we never had, but we weren't doing it regularly at all. And he emphasized, I want that to happen more often, not in services, than in the services. Because he wants, the Lord wants to live this gospel through us. You know, not just be anointed when we come to church. Not just have words of knowledge when we come to church. But what about in the restaurant? What about at Walmart? Everywhere we go. Because that's really the kind of revival that's coming. And you know what? Every believer can do that. And they don't have to have a Lexus or a 5-button suit. You need his presence. You need his direction. And you need his power. And you can have revival. And that's what we're going to have. Amen? Well, still, now that I know that's the direction, and in the vision I see these trees, but I don't really know what do you mean the next tree, the next obstacle that must fall? What is it still? I don't know what it is. And I could have picked a whole lot of things, because I'm easy. I mean, especially then, I'll say it that way. I had so many flaws, that's why I was working in that big circle. Kept me busy full time. I could just, any direction you want to go, there's another flaw. Yeah, we'll cut down that tree too. Work on that one over there? Sure. You know, people used to judge me and Sue. I'd go, well, you must not be very good at your job. We're too easy to judge. Easy to find flaws in us. You know, if he's a good judger, God would send you after somebody a little harder than us. Must not be very good at it. We still needed that hat, you know. Strongholds are us. Well, anyway, But I didn't know. I mean, I could have picked a lot. I could have looked at all my flaws and just picked them and without his leadership. See, this is what I'm saying. And let me say this. I don't know what the next clearing is for you. See, I'm not going to come out and make a doctrine. Well, now the next thing that you need to do is you need to start operating in all the gifts. Well, he wants everybody operating in the gifts. But I don't know what the next clearing is for you. See, that wasn't, he didn't phrase it that way, but as I look back on our life, there were a lot of clearings before we got to that one. Long time before. I'll tell you one of the biggest ones. And that's, I'm not going to tell that story again for time's sake, but 10 years, 12 years, 11 years before, no. 88. 14, 15 years before, the next clearing I had to arrive in to go any farther with him is I had to forgive two people that I did not want to forgive. And I didn't feel it was even that I had to. And nothing in me wanted to. And I felt like I had total justification for not forgiving them. And I could just go on. I'm trying to get across to you how I was. And God says, well, he didn't use the word clearing, but as I look back on it now, that was the clearing I had to get to. And that was 14 years before we got to this gift stuff. And I said, I don't want to. Well, he says, you're not going to go very far with me unless you do. I said, let's talk about this. Because I did want to go on with him. So I'm not going to go reteach that story. But he basically taught me how, even against my carnal desires, he taught me how to pray for them until forgiveness finally came. The work was really done in my heart. And it's really done to this day. It's still done. Plus, as an added quote bonus, he showed me I was the worst one of the three. Yeah. By the time it was over, I wasn't praying for mercy for them anymore. I was praying mercy for me because I was more at fault than either of them. I never would have seen that. I'd still be resentful to this day, thinking I was right, they was wrong. And I'd still be thinking it today if I hadn't have bowed and followed the Holy Spirit into that clearing. Now, there's been a lot of clearings since then, so I don't know what's the next one for you. But he did tell us what was next for us. And he said, the next tree that must fall, and this is where we were Sunday, the next tree that must fall is lack of awareness that I'm with you. Now, see, I'm a teacher. I can show you chapter and verse, boy. I mean, 6 ways from Sunday, I can teach you that the Holy Spirit is with you. And we all have head knowledge of that. You know he's with you. There's a big difference in having that knowledge and walking with the awareness that he, the Holy Spirit himself, is with you. See, it would change your life if Dave was to walk with you all day long. There's things you wouldn't say. There's temper you wouldn't lose. For some, there'd be places you wouldn't go. Just if Dave was walking with you all day. And he was there where you knew he was there. You could see him. You go, okay, I don't think I'm going to say what I was about to say. I don't think I'm going to do that. But now multiply that about 100-fold or 1,000-fold or I don't know how many fold. And how is it going to change? Now say, oh, and yes, okay, that's even better than I thought. Okay, now I've got to pick someone. Okay. Now, this couple moved here. They're two of the most precious people that I know. And they're sold out for the message. They're doing, these people, there's not a TV in their house. They're sold out for the message. They're doing everything they know. But you'd probably concede to me that at this moment, just at this moment, not forever, between you and Dave right now, he might carry a little stronger healing anointing. Would that be fair enough? About, okay, he's going a little bit, a little skosh, okay? In joking, okay, I know. So if the two of them are walking together, okay, and they come upon somebody in a wheelchair, and you know Dave is with you, okay? And this person, you know, you're walking by, let's just say you hear the voice of the, because we're still talking leadership of the Spirit, okay? And the Lord says, well, it's the Lord's will that that person get out of that wheelchair. Now, I don't know about you, but with me, I'd probably turn to Dave and I'd go, there you go, Dave. Because I know his anointing is stronger than mine at this point. If you would have any tendency at all like that with Dave, the point is, how much more would you have it with the Holy Ghost? It's not you that's going to get the people out of the wheelchair. Even Jesus himself did not get them out of the wheelchair. He never did one miracle, never turned the water to wine, never healed anybody until he himself was baptized with the Holy Ghost. If I cast out devils by the finger of God, he said, and that's the Holy Spirit, it'll change our world. If we can ever get to the place. Yes, sir. Now, see, here's the sad thing. See, we both know Dave. I'm coming back. We both know Dave isn't with us all the time, right? He's not. You'd look around and go, no, Dave's not here. Trouble of it is, Holy Spirit always is. He is there the whole time, all the time, every time. He takes no vacations. He never has a headache. He's never in a bad mood. He's there all the time. And he gave a prophecy through me that I wasn't expecting Sunday. And he said, not one of you in the sound of my voice, there's not been one of you that hasn't missed a miracle this week. And he says, I'm not so much speaking of a miracle to you, I'm speaking of a miracle through you. Because especially here, he would be looking for people that are sensitive to his voice. Everywhere we go, and the Holy Spirit's right there. Why aren't these miracles flowing out there all the time? We're not aware of his presence. We're not genuinely aware like you would be aware if Dave was with you. We're going to have to do something on purpose for that to change. Well, that brings me to tonight's lesson. And again, this might be the message, if I knew for sure that I'd never be able to teach to you again. This might be it. Because not only will your life and world be changed if you can become constantly aware that he's with you, but the whole world around you, your friends, your family, your co-workers, their world will be changed too. Because it'll be an invasion of the supernatural everywhere you go. Amen? And we're not talking gold dusting either. So let me read you this. Again, this one's called Becoming Aware of His Presence. And a few days had gone by when I was too busy to pray. It's not that I didn't pray at all. I'm sure I prayed in the car and I prayed while I was doing stuff. But what I mean is I hadn't gotten alone to be with him at all because I was too busy. None of you ever get too busy. And every bit of it was legitimate stuff. We weren't on a vacation. We weren't, you know, it was all legitimate things. So apparently it had been 2 days because when I began to hear him, he said this. He says, do you see how just 2 days without entering into my presence and hearing my counsel causes your ears to become dull of hearing? The flesh feeds on self-accomplishment. Your spirit feeds on my accomplishment. See, the reason I had taken 2 days, my highly trained intellect decided that what the things that I could do were more valuable to the kingdom those 2 days than what he could do. It says your flesh trusts in self, but your spirit trusts in me. To withdraw yourself from my counsel and from my strength, to substitute labor in the flesh, only strengthens the flesh against my counsel. You think I've forgotten about 1 Timothy 4? I haven't. We will get there. And he said it's more than simply being a matter of dullness of hearing. If you'll be honest, you will admit that there is a reduction in your level of confidence that you're even hearing my voice. This is the result of the strengthening of the flesh by devoting your energy to it rather than spending your time with me and learning to trust in me. Be quick to repent of this error. Now, 10 years later, these next few things mean a lot to me more than they did then. He says, be quick to repent of this error. Most never do. Most never walk in my counsel. And most never walk in my power. 61. It's amazing how I turned around twice. I was 51, turned around twice, and I'm 61. It's amazing how you can get busy and a decade will go by. Even though that decade was full of a lot of good things, I'm being honest with you, I way neglected him. I thank God for all of the things that he was able to do, but I repent. And I'm sorry and I'm sad. And I can't go back and change it. That I did most of the last 10 years in my own strength. Instead of learning how to yield and flow in his strength. And the sad part is you don't get to go back and redo it. So those words mean a lot more to me now, 10 years later. When he says, be quick to repent, most never do. I can see what he means. Well, you know, the day or two before, he'd been teaching me about the gifts of the Spirit. The next thing he says to me, he says, as a manifestation of the discerning of spirits, I am speaking into your ear now to let you know, to inform you, that two devils have been assigned to you to bring destruction of reasonings. I had no clue. You could have knocked me over with a feather. What? What? Now, I was having trouble entering in that day. The reason this started off the way it did, 2 days before, actually, I guess 3 days before, I'd entered in pretty easy. This day, after 2 days of not doing this at all, man, I've been praying and praying and praying and doing just what I did before, and it took a long time for me to begin to hear him. At least telling me why. I thought it was just dullness of hearing, and that's part of it. But he says, what you don't know is there's been two devils that's been assigned to you to bring destructions of reasonings. In the spirit, they are shouting doubt and confusion in your spiritual ear, with the intent of undermining your confidence in hearing my voice. Y'all remember when Dave had that vision of the hooded demon that's standing over there by that door? And it was more of an upper class spirit. What was it? Ruler of darkness, thank you. It was a ruler of darkness spirit. But with him, he had brought minions. Is that a good word? Many, many, many low-level devils. And they were going all through the congregation. Of course, the congregation was oblivious to it. They didn't know what was going on. But all through the congregation, those little devils were going. And they were shouting in people's ears, something wrong with this place. Something wrong here. You sure this isn't a cult? You better get away from here. There's something wrong with this. Can't you feel it? There's just something wrong in this place. And that's what those demons were doing. Dave said during that service, he says, no matter how hard he tried, Every word he spoke was just falling flat. It was like nothing was working at all. Well, then near the end of it, right at the end of it, then he had that vision and he saw why the people couldn't hear. They were already being shouted at in their spiritual ear by these demons. And within a week, we had like 20 first row type people leave. They were saying the same things that those demons had been saying. Well, that was a discerning of spirits to let Dave know what was going on. This is a discerning of spirits where the Holy Spirit's let me know what's going on. It's good to know if two devils have been assigned to you. It's good to know that. Otherwise, you'll think it's just you. Or you'll think he's refusing to talk to you. He's not refusing to talk to you. So he says, they're shouting doubt and confusion in your spiritual ear with the intent of undermining your confidence in hearing my voice. He says, right now, I instruct you, speak aloud in the name of Jesus and command these two devils to leave you. And I will summarily dismiss them. And you will immediately notice a change in your confidence. And I put the next paragraph in brackets and I put Gary speaking. Because I wanted to make record of what happened. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you two devils. I command you to leave me. Go now. Then I wrote, Holy Spirit, I give witness and testify that I literally felt something leave me. Thank you. Thank you. For the record's sake, I must make the observation that when those two devils left, it seemed like they left my chest cavity area, not my mind. I mean, I felt a lightness here. I don't even understand that to this day. Okay? I'm just telling you what it felt like. Oh, I said, this is just an observation, but that's what it felt like. End of bracket. Now, he said, in days to come, you'll literally see these spirits, and I will open your eyes. But this is a progressive walk. Well done, son, to hearken to my voice and obey. Well done. You passed your first assignment to obey instantly without question. And I am pleased. Now, we're going to run out of time. I'm going to summarize a few verses, then I'm going to get into the main thing he wants to get across, if this was my last night to speak to you. The next few paragraphs, see, the reason that I had this dullness is I've been real busy for 2 days with the administration of the ministry. See, there's always seems to be that thing, the things in the natural you got to do, and then the things in the spirit that we ought to do. How many ever had a little difficulty finding time to pray? Well, me too. And so there was all these things. And so, you know, with every hour, I've got to make a choice. I can either work on the things that need to be done at the ministry, even though I had help, you know, people working there. But still, there were things that they couldn't do that I had to do, decisions that had to be made and certain things. So with every hour, I got to make a choice. Am I going to go pray? Or am I going to work on that stuff? Or am I going to go pray? Or am I going to work on that stuff? Well, you got to do some work on the natural things. See, you can't just quit your job and live by faith unless he tells you to quit your job and live by faith, okay? That's the extreme. But what I'm saying is you can't be like Peter and go up on the mountaintop and, oh, it's good that we should be here and let's build three tabernacles and I'm never going to work again. Go to work. We can give you lots of verses in the New Testament about get a job, lazy man. We're talking about that time that you do have. Where, you know, you got a choice with every hour that you're not at work. I either do this or I do that. Okay, now right on the other side, women, the dishes need to be done. Or whatever. Okay, I'm just saying we all have our obligations. Okay? You can't just go off and pray and never clean your house either. I didn't get any amens at all. No amens. But there is a balance. And what he's saying here, I got way overbalanced. I mean, I didn't go pray at all for 2 days. And I'm in this seeking time, really, where he was teaching me, probably one of the most pivotal times in my life where I was hearing him so clear. Yet still, my wonderful intellect rose up. And my lightning quick mind says, well, what I need to do today is more important than go talk to him. I didn't ever say that out loud, and I don't remember thinking that out loud, but as I look back at it 10 years later, that's obviously what I did think. Because I chose to work on my stuff. So for the next paragraphs here, and these are all available at the website, he starts talking to me about him being the master administrator. In other words, he says, look, if you'll sit down and let me teach you, I am way better at administrating your ministry than you are. You know, that shouldn't be a... It's embarrassing to me that he had to tell me that. That's not rocket science. You'd think, you know, a logical person would figure that out. But I didn't. So he explains to me some of how he worked as an administrator with Jesus, and that's all in here. He tells me again that I was in a period of catching up because I had so many things going for the Lord, and some of it was the mind of Christ, some of it wasn't. So he's saying he's going to straighten that all out. And then I want to pick this up here. He says, no one understand that I am not angry with you because of your seeming lack of confidence that you're truly hearing my voice and not your own thoughts. Anyone ever have that war? Satan's number one tactic to keep you from doing this. He says, I know better than you how new and strange and unusual this fellowship is to you right now. But rather than being angry, on the contrary, I am greatly pleased to see you persevere to become expert at hearing my voice and receiving my counsel. Now you judge this. This is what he said to me. There is no other way. There is no other path. You shall become expert at hearing my voice. As I have already spoken to you, my voice shall become the easiest voice heard, no matter how great the tumult around you. Continue. Continue, son, in these times of fellowship. But as your counselor, I say, let no days pass where we do not commune in heart, where we do not commune in spirit, and where we do not commune in soul. Gary, 10 years later. You ever let a day pass? Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. I've let weeks pass. Let months pass. This is probably the last time I'm going to speak with you, so. We'll just tell all, you know, and then pack the bags, honey. We're going to Omaha. Well, sometimes your failures help people more than your triumphs, you know. If this was my last message, I probably wouldn't hold back anything, see. I get letters all the time. I've got one from a precious brother on my desk right now. He said he's been trying to do Dave's, what's on those two tapes, Distinguishing God's Voice, for 2.5 years. He said here recently he spent 12 hours practicing it. 12 hours. I hope he meant continuously. And he says, I've never yet heard him in English. So now what's your counsel, Gary? Well, it depends on how old he is. Because if he's 50, he's got 70 years more to practice. There's no such thing as quit. There's no such thing as it's not working. This is how the Holy Spirit said his people would follow Jesus. I think what happens, now I'm not trying to be, I'm going to call the man and talk with him. A lot of times people are hearing the Lord a lot better than they think they are. And this has to do with that preconceived notions thing. But they're so concentrating on trying to hear him in a certain area that he's not even talking to him in that arena yet. There's 4 clearings before you get there. So he's talking, but you don't recognize him because it's not remotely what you've got your mind on. That could be one reason. There's other reasons. He might need to dismiss a few devils himself. Take the name of Jesus, command them to leave. There might be an assignment against him. See, there can be reasons. But I'm telling you right now, Jesus is no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he does for all. And he plainly said, I'm going to send a... What? Can you imagine when he was there with the 12 and they're following him? Now let's just pick one. I don't want you to pick Judas. Because that would put a different picture. Let's pick John, the disciple that Jesus loved. So every day, everybody gets their assignment, but John. And John, you know, John watches them come up. Like Peter goes up, "Lord, what do you want me to do today?" "Well, I want you to go to this town and do this and do that." Okay. Here comes James. "Lord, what do you want me to do today?" "Well, I want you to go to this town. I want you to do that. And I want you to do this other thing." And he watches them one by one as they go up and they get their instructions from the Lord. And then John comes up and says, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord just keeps his mouth shut, looks him right in the eye, and doesn't say a thing. Do you think there's any, I mean, for hours? Is there any possibility of that happening? Absolutely no possibility. But that's what the devil's trying to convince these precious people is happening. That the Lord is withholding his voice from them, and he's not withholding his voice from them. It's a matter of, again, I have to use this analogy because it's so perfect. Even while we're in this church building tonight, you know and I know that there are radio waves passing through this auditorium right now. We've got everything from gospel to hard rock passing through here right now. But nobody's hearing those radio waves. Why? You're not tuned in. You don't have a receiver tuned in. Does that mean that they're silent? No, they're not silent at all. They're passing through here. It's just a matter of learning how to turn your receiver to that frequency. It's very much exactly the same when it comes to tuning into God's voice. You think Jesus is going to turn to you and clamp his mouth shut and not say anything to you? He has instructions for your life. He's not withholding his voice from you. So it might be different things with different people, you know? But you can't quit. You've got to learn how to do this. Now, I will say this. If you never get to the place where you hear him in your known language, like these face-to-face things, don't despair. His job is to get it across from your spirit to your soul. Because it's your soul is where you take action. Make decisions. Okay? If you'll keep praying, even if you don't ever hear it exactly in your known language, like to the point you could write it down, if you keep praying, he is still communicating the mysteries, the mind of Christ, from the Holy Spirit to your human spirit. And eventually, by revelation, you will just know. You'll make decisions about your life and not really say, "Why did I decide that?" And then 5 years down the road, you'll look back and say, "Oh, okay, Lord, I see what you were doing now." But at the time, maybe you didn't really know why. Now, I think that's way lower on his scale of leadership than where he wants us to walk. I think he wants us to have daily information, just like we're walking side by side with him now, which we really are by the agency of the Holy Spirit. But if you never actually hear him that clearly, still keep on praying, because that information is being transmitted every hour you give him from his spirit to yours. And your soul will pick up on it enough. It may not word for word, but the decision will come and you'll know it. And it'll be right. Hallelujah. Okay, back to this. So the last thing he said to me there, "But as your counselor, I say let no days pass where we do not commune in heart, commune in spirit, and commune in soul. As your counselor, it is needful that I say to you once more, put first and place the highest priority, seeking the path to the next clearing." The carnal pressure. Now what does that mean? The carnal pressure causes your mind to turn to the administration of the ministry. I had deadlines. I had pressures on me. And the tendency was for me to focus on that because that's a lot. There's something productive. There's something gratifying to the soul as you do human accomplishment. And so I can feel progress there, even if it's little. Okay? But go back to another 4 hours of praying and listening. Oh, let's see, I can accomplish this or I can go pray and listen. I don't know if I'm going to hear anything or not this time. He says, as you continue to put His path first for your life, which is what I've already shown you, that is what releases me more than anything else to bring all of the natural things into order. It's as you seek first His kingdom, the things He has called you to do, where that alone is the number one desire of your heart, and that is where you focus your energies, then you release me to bring everything necessary to cause His plan for your life to come to pass. And that includes the administration of the ministry. Hearken well to my counsel. Seek first the next clearing. In other words, quit focusing so much on the daily activities of the ministry. Get in here and pray and become aware of my presence so you'll start operating in the gifts. That's what the Lord was interested in. Give your attention and your energy to arriving there. I will take responsibility for the carnal things. 10 years later, I can tell you right now, whenever you make that decision, at the time it won't look like he's taking responsibility for it. It looks like everything's going to H-E, double hockey sticks in a handbasket. Yeah. And it seems like the devil makes sure it looks that way. Trying to get you out of the prayer closet and back into doing everything in your natural wisdom. And I'm not saying you don't give some time to it. You've got to give some time to it. But all he's saying is here is put first things first. Make sure most of your time is spent doing what I told you to do, which wasn't spending 90% of it administrating the ministry. So anyway, I got to get to this one part. The number one thing you can do right now in order to seek the next clearing is to practice being aware of my presence all of the time. This may seem like a game to you, and it did, but it is of the highest order of reality. It is not frivolous, nor is it non-productive. The most productive thing in your life right now is to become constantly aware that I'm with you in every situation, in every circumstance, all through the day, every day. Practice being aware that I'm with you. Now, this next part is why I had you turn to 1 Timothy. He said, speak to me as though I am there, for I truly am. Whether you hear me respond or not, practice being aware of my presence. And I'm going to read a little bit more before we get to Timothy. For you see, I am with you whether you are aware of it or not. It is you becoming aware of my presence that causes your expectation for the manifestation of the gifts to be available to you in all situations. Now listen to this again. Speak to me all through the day. Speak to me as though I were your closest friend, for I truly am. Speak to me as if I were there to help you, for I truly am. We shall commune. We who? You and the Holy Spirit. Even in the night seasons, your communion with me shall increase, for I will begin to unfold dreams, revelations, and visions of the Lord to your mind. All of these things come as a fruit of your awareness of my continual presence with you. The most criticism I've received about all the face-to-face documents is this passage right here. Because they say, well, nowhere in the New Testament are we told to speak to the Holy Spirit. You pray to the Father. We see the Lord appearing and people having conversations with the Lord. Even angels appear sometimes and give messages. But where do you see speaking with the Holy Spirit? Like, dear Holy Spirit, or hello, Holy Spirit. Well, that was a legitimate, hey, if it ain't in the Bible, I'm done with it. So I got to studying. I want to find out, well, how are we supposed to do it? Is it wrong to speak to the Holy Spirit and, like, use the name Holy Spirit? Like, hello, Holy Spirit, I'm going to have Cheerios now. You want to sit here while I have some Cheerios? I mean, it seemed like a game. You know, I'm trying to do this, so it's got to be, you know, I got to do something different than what I've done in the past. And that's exactly the kind of thing I did. Get ready to go get the mail. Holy Spirit, you want to go get the mail? I know you're already there, but you want to go with me? You know, I mean, I know he's already there, right? He's omnipresent. But I'm thinking, okay, I'll clean out this seat in the car. You can go with me. See, it's silly to me. And that's part of why I had trouble doing it. Plus, I'm having trouble speaking to the Holy Spirit anyhow. Yet, 1 Timothy? Well, let's find out. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. What? The Spirit speaketh expressly. It must be talking about the new nature. Let's read on. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's not the new nature. Your new nature is more like a compass. It's like a red light, green light. It's the moral center of you. It does communicate, and it communicates strong. Anytime you're about to do something like sin, you know, you're about to steal, you're about to do anything, I mean, that nature will communicate with you, doesn't it? You know exactly what he's saying, even though it's not really words. But he's not statistical. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks and says, go to a street called Straight. You know, it'll say things like, inquire of one Simon the Tanner. You know, information like that. It's the Holy Spirit that is, he's another person. He is the one. And it says here, the Spirit doesn't say Jesus. It doesn't say the Father. It says, the Spirit speaketh expressly. Who wrote this book? It's Paul. He's writing things to Timothy that the Holy Spirit spoke expressly to Paul. And he's not making any bones about it. He doesn't even phrase it religiously like we would. God the Father revealed it to the head of the church. The head of the church is Jesus. And he received it. Said, yes, Father, I have the information. Now, I will reveal that to my servant Paul. Come here, Holy Spirit. And, I mean, this is really what happened, all right. But he's not putting it in these words, you know. And then Jesus revealed it to the Holy Spirit. And so really it was Jesus that communicated to me by the agency of the Holy Ghost. He skips all that and says, no, the Holy Ghost told me. The Spirit spoke expressly. Where'd you get this? The Holy Spirit. It tends to make me think that perhaps there were some conversations between Paul and the Holy Spirit. No wonder Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. I believe Paul may have had his own face-to-face encounters. And in some of them, the Holy Spirit starts laying out things down through time. You know, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to show you things to come. Let's look at another one. Go to Acts 16. I use this one all the time when I'm teaching about not being orphans. Acts 16, verse 6. Again, this is Paul and Silas, and they had finished an assignment of the Lord, and they don't know what to do next. Well, we're talking about being led by the Holy Spirit. Not like an orphan anymore, but the Holy Spirit has come to take your hand so you won't be an orphan, and he's going to lead you exactly where you need to go. Because otherwise, you're just left to your own devices. You don't know whether to, you know, I want to serve the Lord, but I don't know whether to go left. I don't know whether to go right. Okay, so let's see how it goes here now. So verse 6, Acts 16, 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and the Lord Jesus appeared to them and told them not to go to Asia. God the Father. He sent an angel. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. The Holy Ghost prevented them. Now, is he the Lord now? No, we've already taught on that at length. He's not the Lord. He is bringing that. You know why he's forbidding it? Because Jesus, the head of the church, is forbidding it. It's not the mind of Christ. I don't want you to go that way. All right. So after they were coming to Mysia, then they essayed, they weighed in their minds about going to Bithynia. But Jesus suffered them not. Well, in a way he did. But how's it worded here? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It is a capital S, and it should be capital S. The Spirit suffered them not. He didn't permit it. Why didn't he permit it? Because the Lord Christ Jesus in heaven wasn't permitting it. It wasn't the mind of the Father. It wasn't the mind of Christ. They're hearing from the Holy Ghost. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Now see, the face-to-face thing is only one way. We've talked how many times? The Holy Spirit has many ways of communication. One of them, he can just talk your language to you. Another one is just revelation. One minute you didn't know a thing, the next minute you do know a thing. He can talk to you by vision. He can talk to you by dreams. Sometimes a vision comes in a dream. And I think that's what this is. Because it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Usually a night vision is a dream, but we don't know for sure that Paul was asleep. But in any event, this is being generated by the Holy Spirit. like a movie inside of Paul. I've had those so many times. And it says, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. He got his direction, did he not? But it's coming through that same Holy Spirit that had been communicating with him earlier. I don't think it's wrong to talk with the Holy Spirit. It says, the Spirit speaketh expressly. There's things in these lessons that we didn't get to talk much about, and I don't know whether we will. One of the things, the instructions he gave me, he said, see, up until this point, Sue and I, we would just make our petitions. You know, we don't sell anything. We're not even permitted by the Lord to send a letter out, although there's nothing wrong with this, unless the Lord tells you don't do it. We're not allowed to send out a letter saying, well, our duplicators are getting old. If you guys want to help us, you know, they cost this much money, and if you want to help us, you're free to contribute. We're not even allowed to do that. There's nothing wrong with doing that, but unless the Lord tells you not to do it. And he told us not to do it. So we, all these years, it would just be, we just have to make a petition. What do we need? Well, we need this kind of duplicator, and it costs it. We'd do our research. We'd figure out how much money, and we'd go to the Lord with it. You know, Mark 11:23-24. You know, pray, believe we receive when we pray, date it, count it as done, never ask him again, thank him for it every day until it comes. That's the way we'd live for all these years. And now the Lord's saying, the Holy Spirit in one of these communications says, from now on, now that you're able to hear me at a different level, before you submit those petitions, you need to go over them with me. Let me review them with you. Some of them will change. Some of them will edit. Some of them will throw away. And some of them you need to, a petition you haven't even thought of yet, but I'll tell you what to ask for. That happened to us one time. Just, it came really by word of knowledge. And one time I was just minding my own business. I was confessing a certain amount of money for our ministry. And just a word of knowledge came. He just says, or word of wisdom. He says, I want you to increase that amount by $4,000 a month. Now, I love to do this. So how many of you would like it if the Lord told you to increase your finances by $4,000 a month? Could I see your hand? You've heard this before. Okay. When we used to travel, I'd get them all. $4,000 a month. Wow. Hand goes up. Every hand goes up. And I say, well, would you still want it if not a penny of it was for you? Because that's the way it was. Not a penny of it was for us. But sure enough, the things that were coming that I didn't know yet were going to cost $4,000 more a month. And all he had us do was request it and thank him for it. And it came. We didn't do anything with our letters. We didn't do anything in the natural. We didn't promise no hundredfold return. We did nothing. Special anointing on a $500 gift, nothing. And sure enough, the $4,000 a month came more than what was coming before. In here somewhere he says, yeah, here it is right here. Studying the gifts profits a little. Becoming aware of my presence accomplishes much. Know and understand that I can accomplish more in a single day for you than you could accomplish yourself in many lifetimes. Releasing my power in every facet of your life comes by your continual awareness, continual fellowship with me, and continual hearkening to the instructions I give you by vision, just like Paul, by revelation, and by voice. The reason he wanted to bring this part out so strong about the Spirit speaketh expressly, if you're going to make this change, you're going to have to get over your religious fear of talking to the Holy Ghost. How in the world is your relationship going to go from a theoretical knowledge that he's with you to an absolute, constant, present awareness that he's with you? Unless we do something different than we've done in the past. What he said to me there, I believe, would be a good counsel for you. He says, talk to me all through the day. Talk to me. He said, it'll seem like a game to you at first, but it's not a game. It's not frivolous. Talk to me like I'm real. Talk to me like I'm your best friend. Talk to me like I'm with you, for I truly am. And as your awareness of that comes to a higher level, he's going to be able to manifest more fruit, I believe, every day than some of us have seen in years. Walk with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.